Okay, so we are up to one above on the days. The beginning of a line, Amar Rava, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th line from the top. Amar Rava. Eshes Kayin Shenetza, Baila Laikala Misham Zaina. An Eshes Kayin, that someone lived with her against her will. Her husband is usher to her, and if he lives with her, he's over the lav of Isha Zaina La Yikachu. Because this man, the Amar, there's going to be a machlekes in the sugya, learned that Zayin is not a reflection of morals and ethics. Zayin is a physical reality. Any woman that had a relationship that is prohibited, at least the chayv increases, turns into a zayna. And therefore, whether it was done against her will or willingly, that's her morals and ethics. That's her din in Eilam Haba or in Eilam Hazeh. But as far as the relationship with the kain is concerned, she has become a zayna, and she's included in the love of Isha Zayna La Yikochu. Even though she's married to the kayan, she didn't do anything morally or ethically wrong or halachically wrong, but she was a victim. But the bottom line is, a reality is a reality. She is considered a zaynam. If with her, he gets malchus because of zaynam. So Eishas kayan shenenta by the loikala mishim zaynam. Frank the gabar mishim zaynam and mishim tumalai. Isn't there a love of vayucho by the loikishan akrehu shetamah? Where we learn out that a kayin to his wife that's an anusa, we darshan out of that pasuk, that there's a lav that he can't live with her achrei hashu tamah after she had a relationship, right? So even though that pasuk is not talking about a kayin married to a woman, it's talking about magzik gurushasai, but we darshan from the word achrei hashu tamah that it includes an aishas kayin shenensa. So Rava made it sound that it's Zayna. Isn't this included in the lab of Tumah? And for the Gemara, Eim Afmash is Zayna. Rava didn't mean to exclude Tumah. He meant to say the Kayin is violating two lab. He's violating the lab of Achrei Hashu Tumah. He's also violating the lab of Zayna. Rashi. Look, Rashi. Mishim Zayna. Look, Sim Zayna Le Yikachu. Ustam Zayna. Hayna Mina Efes Tachas Baila. So Rashi wants to say that even though one can argue that this is not a Zayna, Zakrashi, it's not true. A regular Zayna means she turned away from her husband. She turned from her husband to strangers. The zoo, I forgot the Nansa, even though this was not against her will. The Torah did not differentiate by Kain to a willing and a non-willing relationship. It says, by Eishes Yisrael, she wasn't forced. He could have said v'loy nitvasa. What's he loy nitvasa? The he miyuta. He is an exclusion. Mashma, he eishes yisrael who the yashchiluk ben nitvasa loy nitvasa. Only by an eishes yisrael that there's a difference between ratzin and einus. Nitvasa would mean by einus, by nitvasa would mean by ratzin. Ableishes kayin in chiluk. He, only a regular lady, is loy nitvasa, is only us if she did it willingly. But if she didn't do it well, she wouldn't be usher. He comes to exclude somebody, and the one we're excluding is Eishes Kayin, but she becomes usher, and Rava learns that she's included in the law of Zayna. Shem Tumah Loi Bitmiya, Rabbeinu Beperek Hama, we said in the first Perek, Amani Mekayim Achrei Asher Hu Tamah. Why don't we learn the law of Yuchu Bailu Harishan, Achrei Asher Hu Tamah, and we learned that the words Achrei Hu Tamah are extra, because Magzik Rishasai didn't do anything that's hutamah. Hutamah seems to say something that's unclean. Magzik the Grusha didn't do anything wrong. She married legally once and legally a second time. Nothing happened to her that we should say tumah. We say achrash she married, but achrash hutamah. The rabbi said to Shenivala, the Sivla Yuchabayla. It's including a site to Shenivala, that a site to who was Mazana Baratzin. Were by an Aishas Kayan, it would be even by this. That would be called Hutamah. So there's a lav of Tumah. So what is Rava saying, Zayna? And for the Gemara, Rava is saying both, that it is a Zayna and Tumah. That's what the Gemara answered. Yes.
Rabbi, can I ask a question? So if the Cohen husband is liable for Malkus, doesn't that imply that he had some intention that he knew? Can you be liable for Malkus without let's say, number one, he didn't know that it happened. He didn't know that his wife was raped.
Well, nobody can be liable for any punishment by Bethan unless there was a warning and a rejection of the warning. Meaning somebody has to tell him, listen, your wife is ushered to you because she had, she was raped, right? And his answer has to be, I don't care. If not, there's no way to give him up.
Would the following change anything? She didn't know she was raped. She didn't know she was violated. She was unconscious or whatever. If she had no idea, does this change any of the formula that we've done so far?
Well, again, did you find out later?
She hasn't found out yet, but I think I'm anticipating what you're going to say is that really this is a physical fact.
Right.
She was with someone other than her husband. The end.
Correct. That's what I'm going to say. And again, I want to make it clear that this is not a tie on her. She didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You know, but it's just a reality. I mean, my comparison I always say is a child that's born handicapped didn't do anything wrong either. It's just the way the rabbinic mother made it. It's just what it is.
Okay.
Dr. Gemara Weiter. Masiv Reb Zera. Reb Zera asked the question. It says in the Pasuk, he learned the Tvas Asura, talking about a regular wife of a Yisrael, and it says that if he did it without being forced, she's prohibited to her husband. And the inference is, on the Tvasa, Mutaris. But if she did it by force, meaning if she was forced, then she's Mutar. The Yeshlucha Acheres, there's another lady, the he is a miyut, she is only Aser Vlay Nitzvasa. There's somebody else, that Sha'ava Bisha Nitzvasa Asura, the Ezoi, the Eshus Kayan. This is an inference. Why is it a Zainab? This is derived from an inference that the Torah said that if she's not forced, she's Aser. The word he told us there's somebody that's Aser even if it's forced. But the Torah never said, do not live with her. It's an inference from the word vehi. So it's a negative derived from a positive line in the Torah, where the Torah said a woman not forced is permissible. We derive that there's a certain woman that's not permissible. That's not a lav, not zayna, to not say. Why is there malchus? Granted, it's prohibited. But why are we giving a malchus mishim zayna? She's not. If the Torah would have said, a woman that does this is a zayna, fine. But the Torah didn't say that. The Torah just said that any woman who's married to Yisrael, who has a relationship against her will, does not become prohibited to her husband. By adding the word vehi, the Torah sent us a message that there's an exception to the rule. So that exception is a derivative of a statement of an assay, of a positive. Any derivative of a positive is not allowed. So why are we giving the guy malchus? Answer to Gemara. Amar Rabba, Hakol Haya B'Klal Zayna. No. What happened was, we're working backwards, meaning what we should start is, the given is, any woman who has a relationship extramarital is a Zayna. That's the given. That's where we start off. It's not that we start off that she's any woman has any extramarital affair. At this point, whether willingly or not willingly, strayed from her husband, not morally, not ethically, but physically. And therefore she would be qualified as a Zayna, a woman who strayed. She strayed from her husband. Came along the Torah. Came along the Torah and made an exception to the rule. But said, no, not every woman that has a relationship extramarital is a Zayna. If it's against her will, she's not a Zayna. So the Torah came along and qualified Zayna. And said, what you think that any woman who had a relationship with someone else is a Zayna, we are qualifying that. If it's done against her will, she's not a Zayna, and she's permitted to her husband. Now, the word vihi left Eishes Kayin as is. Vihi is not the source of a new Esther, the he is that when you're tweaking the Isser Zayna, Eishes Chayin is left alone to the way it was before. Before we understood that the he is the source that Eishes Chayin is Aser. We're saying now, no, the source that an Eishes Chayin is Aser is the word Zayna. And the word Zayna would have included an Eishes Yisrael as well. Came along the Torah and said, no, we're going to tweak that. Not every woman who has a relationship while she's married is Aser. Because if she's forced, she's not Aser. But that same pasuk tells us we're only tweaking it vis-a-vis an Eishes Yisrael. When it comes to an Eishes Chayin, we're going to leave it alone. And we're going to leave it alone, and she's going to remain in the given of a Zayna. This is not the source. This is just how we're tweaking the halacha of Zayna, and we're leaving Eishes Chayin out of our correction. Mechlau, the Eishes Chayin, because the Kaima remains the way she was, which is, she is a Zayna. Unlike what we thought, that this is the source, and therefore would not be a lav, the answer is the lav exists. We're tweaking the lav, and we don't tweak it vis-a-vis Eishes Chayin, and therefore she remains in the lab of Zayna. Rashi. Hakol hayah b'chal Zayna. Kol hanivol is tachas malayim. Any woman who has a relationship while she's married, bein b'aynas, bein b'ratzen, b'chal Zayna le'yikachol hayin, is included in the lab of Zayna le'yikachol. Shar kulam nivolu b'liznus. They all had a b'liznus. V'haytu l'chakasim Eishes Yisrael anusa min hakol. And the Torah tweaked it and removed an Eishes Yisrael Anusa from the rule of Eishes Chayin to the Kaima Kaima. But Eishes Chayin remains intact, meaning it is not the Isser is not derived from here, it's that she remains in the original Isser, which we thought included everybody. We tweaked it and left Eishes Chayin out. Birkei d'Amri, back to the Gemara. Some say, Amar Rabba, Eishes Chayin Shenensa by the Lekalev Shem Tuma in, Shem Zayin Alay. This is saying a different approach. That unlike what we said before, that Zayin is a physical reality, we are now saying Zayin is a reflection of morals and ethics. A woman is only a Zayin if she did it willingly. If there is an Einus, you cannot qualify her as Zayin. She is also to her husband as an Eishes Chayin because the Torah said, and she did have a relationship, and the Torah did not make a permission for her with the pasuk of the Hila and the Tfasa. It said that she's an exception to the rule. So therefore, she remains Aser because of Tuma. But she's not a Zaynam. Alma ba'aynas le'kalina be'zaynam. This Lashon of Rabbah, the Ikka d'Amri, says we cannot qualify a woman as a Zaynam if it's done against her will. Again, she's Aser to the Kayan. She's also because of Achra Futama, but she's not a Zayna. A Zayna, you cannot call her because she didn't do it willingly. Rashi, Achra Hushitama, the Rabbi Saita Shinivala. That's what we brought before. Shintama, I'm sorry, Achra Hushitama, the Rabbi Saita Shinivala. Masif of Zayra. Vilain the Tvasa Sura, Han the Tvasa Mutaris. The same question we had before. The Tyrus said that an ancient Yisrael who wasn't forced is Aser. But if she was forced, she's mutter. The Yeshlach HaCharis, and the he told us that this is somebody else, she abishin in the tvasa, even though she had been forced, Asura, the Eizu, who is that? The Eishes Chayin. The Lava B'Amachal HaSayasay. Again, it's not a negative, it's a negative derived from a positive, and it should not have a Lava at all. Right? The same question we had before when we thought it was a Zayna, we're now asking that it's a Lava of Tuma. Without any exception, I would have said, any married woman who had a relationship with another man cannot have a relationship with her husband anymore because she's chutama, physical reality. When the Torah came along and said, it's only us if she did it again, willingly, not if it was not against her will, Mechlau, the Eishes Chayin to the Kaima Kaima. And Eishes Chayin remains intact. Again, this is not the source. This is when we tweaked the Lav. We didn't tweak it for Eishes Chayin. And it remains in the Lav. So here we have a basic machlokes in the approach of the Torah to a woman who had a relationship against her will. Is there a physical reality of Zayna? Or is Zayna not a physical reality if it's done against her will? It's only a physical reality of Tumah. So it's machlokes whether he would get malchus for the lava zayna, or he would not get malchus for the lava zayna. That's the machlokes, and it remains a machlokes.
And Rabbi, how do we hold regarding halachically?
I mean, we paskin that he's not a zayna, but it makes no difference. Meaning practically, it makes no difference. He's not allowed to be married to her. The question is how many punishments he received. The bottom line is that Aishas Kayan, who had a relationship out of a marriage against her will, does become prohibited to her husband. That's the reality. Whether it's a Zayin or a Tumah, but the bottom line is she's us, it's her husband. So practically, halakhically speaking, this is not we don't give Malkus anyway. It's just whether we know. We always view the term Zayna as a moral lapse, an ethical lapse. That is questionable in this Gemara. But, you know, that's just how we look at things, not in practicality. It's how many lavim would this woman be over if she lived with her husband? How many lavim would the man be over if he lived with his wife? Would he be over Zayna or just Tuma? That's the question. Nobody's arguing with her husband.
And so after pogroms and the Holocaust, there were divorces here.
Again, I don't know of any case that I can point to, but theoretically, meaning assuming that that's what happened, yes, there would be no head that I know of. Again, I'm sure that there's a lot of contemporary tshuvas on this, but I'm not aware of any. And unfortunately, by the Holocaust, there weren't that many because they killed them. They didn't bother, Right?
So, I actually thought you had mentioned it in previous years. I just couldn't remember what the result was. I thought you had mentioned this precise situation.
Again, I don't remember. But halachically, an anxious kind answers us as her husband. That's the halach.
Rebbe?
Yes.
The tumah here is like a borrowed expression. The tumah can't ever be, she can't be matar from this. This is something's permanent, right?
This is not the tumah you're used to when somebody touches a sheretz or an avela or a zav or matira. It means defiled.
Defiled permanently, though.
There's a permanent result to this, correct. It's not the tumah that can be removable by going to the mikvah.
Rebbe, the same, all this applies to with a mamzer also, correct? Meaning it only becomes a person, only with a mamzer through mazid.
You want to know if the child is a mamzer if it's not the mazid?
Right.
Yes, he is. No question. Nobody argues with that.
I'm sorry?
A mamzer is a physical reality. Whether it was done by Rutz or Ba'inus, the kid is a mamzer.
We're talking about from the anusa.
Rob wanted to know, if I understood him correctly, if somebody lives with a married woman against her will and she conceives and has a baby.
The mamzer.
Whether the child is a mamzer if it's done against her will, and the answer is yes. That's not an argument here.
But we're talking about the husband going afterwards and living with her.
Again, let's say the husband's out of town for a year. Right? And somebody forced this woman into a relationship and she conceived and had a child. So Abraham wanted to know whether the machlokes here would apply whether the kid is a mamzer.
He wanted to know what happened if the kohen lived
with his wife.
That.
The kohen lived with his wife after she was
a kid. Not a mamzer.
No,
right?
That's a lav. That will depend on Rabbi Kiva. No, even everybody would agree here. Their kid would not be a mamzer. No.
Because
there's no
mamzer. Right?
We had that exception. We had it by a saita. There's no difference. Remember we said by a saita that if a man lives with his wife, the saita, and they have a child, even Rabbi Kiva agrees that the kid's not a mamzer?
Saves learning.
No. Yeah. Everybody would say it's a lav. First of all, it's a lav. If you don't hold like a mekiva, for sure it's not a mamzer. And even if you hold like a mekiva, we make exceptions for some lavim. And this is one of the lavim we made exceptions for.
Rabbi Berger asked me to announce today that today's learnings sponsored Le'ili Nishmas Isha Glicka Bas Avram Alter, the day of Riyortzeit. May the learning be a schus for Neshama, sponsored by Rabbi Yonah Sheinbaum.
Thank you. I thought Riyortzeit Ches, so maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
It's the Shabbat. Yes. Tomorrow.
How did I remember that?
So I have Riyortzeit on Ches. I have Yartzeit on Sunday.
So you will announce it again on Sunday.
I think her name was Bogan. Remember that, Rebbe?
No.
I just want to tell you, when I first came to Yeshiva,
in the middle of Shir,
they matched me up with Shmuel Bogan.
Like that.
Check him out. He's a Talmud Chacham Mufla.
Okay. Now that we know that editorial, we can move on. Mishnah. Amana l'kayin gadol, gusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedjet, and amana t'kayin gadol, these are lavin, gusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedjet, min erisin l'yechlu b'truma. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon Makshirin. Okay, so there's two pshatim in Rashi. I will learn the first pshat now. We'll come back and do the second shot when we get to the Gemara. Rashi brings down the second shot. At this point, we're thinking of Bas Kayan, a girl who grew up, her father is a Kayan, she was eating truma. She became widowed. She's still eating truma. She had no children from her first marriage. Then she married a Kayan Gadol, which is a lav. Or she got divorced, and she married a Kayan Hedjet. Now, before she did the Kedushin, to the Kayin Gadol as an Amana, or to the Kayin Hedjet as a Grushin Chalutza, she was eating Truma. Now she married a Kayin, which would allow her to continue eating Truma. But the problem is, she married a Kayin who she's not allowed to marry, who when he lives with her, will make her a Chalala, which will ban her from eating Truma for a lifetime. So again, there is a lady, she is eating Truma because she's her father's daughter. But she's marrying a Kaya now in an illegal marriage, valid but illegal, but she does not become a Halala through Kedushin. She only becomes a Halala after they consummate the relationship. Now she's in the stage of Erisin. Can she eat Truma now? Can she eat Truma because she's a Bas Kaya and she's married to a Kaya? Right? Now, once he consummates the marriage, she will never be able to eat truma because she becomes the halala and she'll never be able to go back to her father's house ever in her lifetime to eat truma. But at this point, she's not a halala. At this point, she's a bas kayan, married to a kayan, without having become a halala. Can she eat truma at this point or not, is the question. So talk to Mishnah. Amana l'kayan gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kayan hedjet, min erisin l'yechlu b'truma. This is Rameir's opinion. And he says that she cannot eat truma. This is called mishtameres lebiya psula. She's set up to have a relationship that will ban her from truma. So how can we let her eat truma as the wife of Mr. Kayan Gadol or Mr. Kayan when this relationship is headed for disaster? It's headed to aser her. So we're going to let her eat truma as the wife of a Kayan, right? She's now a wife of a Kayan, and this is a wife of a Kayan that cannot, if she ever has a relationship with him, will be banned for life. So we cannot let her eat truma now because she's headed for being a halala. This is a rabbinic iser, because biblically speaking, there's no reason she shouldn't eat truma. She's not a halala. She's married to a Kayan. There's no reason for her not to eat truma, right? Either she can eat because she's her father's daughter or because she's her husband's wife. But either way, there's no reason for her not to eat truma. But she's headed for becoming pasul. So her mayor learns that that is enough to pasul her, and therefore we do not let her eat truma, even in the stage of erisin, because she's mishtameres lebiya psula. She's waiting, for lack of a better word, Stameris, she's waiting for a Bia B'sula. As soon as they had this illegal Kedushin, she can no longer eat as a Bas Kayan. Now, because Rashi is bothered, no woman can eat as an Arusa. We learned in the Sefer Subas that we don't allow an Arusa to eat Truma, right? A Kayan does Kedushin to a Bas Yisrael. Biblically speaking, she should be able to eat Truma. But Rabbanan don't let. Right? So no lady can eat Truma after Erisin. So what's over here? So Rashi points out she's a Bas Kayan. And since she's a Bas Kayan, she's eating anyway Truma beforehand. So a Bas Kayan who marries a Kayan can continue eating Truma. But since she is headed for a Bia B'sula, we do not let her eat Truma. That's how Rashi is explaining the Mishnah in the first shot. Again,
what if she,
this is the daughter of a Kayan. She's been eating Truma all her life. She now is marrying a Kayan. She's a Grusha, right? So she can't marry a Kayan. And she had Kedushin from a Kayan. At this point, she is biblically an Arusa. She can eat Truma because of her husband. And Rabbana wouldn't ban it because she's a Bas Kayan. She's eating Truma anyway. So therefore,
can I ask a quick question?
Since she's a Mishtameris for Bia B'sula, she's headed for a Bia B'sula, the Rabbana did not let her eat Truma anymore. So she can go back to eat Truma. But as long as she's an Arusa to this man, who she's not allowed to have, she's not about married to, and if she consummates the relationship, will be a halala, so she can no longer eat Truma. Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon, Machshirin. Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon say it's okay, because there's no reason to bottle her yet. She's not a halala. So Rashi, Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon, Machshirin, Achitzi Bo'olai, until she has the relationship with him, the Tata halala, and she'll become a halala. Simply a halal, Shnei Chilulim, Echad Lezara. Because by Chalo, we learn out that he desecrates her and he desecrates her children.
Microphone. Hello. Rebbe? Rebbe?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, quick question. Can I spell out the case exactly? She's a Grusha from what? From who?
Does it matter?
So doesn't matter.
Let's say she married a Yisrael and she got Megareshes. While she was married to that Yisrael, she can no longer eat Truma. So she goes back to her base of. She goes back to eating Truma?
It depends if she has children or not. If she doesn't have children, yes.
Okay.
Meaning, if she married a Yisrael and had children, she cannot go back and eat Truma. But if she married a Yisrael and she didn't have children, right, then she goes back to eating Truma from her father's house.
She gets the Bas Kohen status again.
Yes, the pasuk. Isha can see Amana Grusha v'Eila v'Shava v'Esavir k'Nareha.
Rebbe, what does that mean? Yes. She goes back to her father's house. Is that just
euphemism?
Hechi Tivsa.
Father's house means to the halacha of being a single girl. She doesn't have to actually be in his house.
No, I don't mean that. I'm saying if she's if her parents passed and she has no siblings, is that still under that category?
Yes.
Bas Kohen is a Bas Kohen.
Yes, she's a Bas Kohen, regardless.
I agree. I think that you could have asked me the question, what if a single Bas Kohen lost her father? Can she still eat Truma? The answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you.
My Redden, can I ask a question?
Sure.
The previous question about if she has children or not. If she has children, she can't eat truma because she might feed it to her children?
No. That's not the reason. If a woman has children, she doesn't go back to her family because she still... It goes both ways. Yesterday we learned one way, and today we're learning the other way. A woman that's married to a Kayan, a Bas Yisrael who married a Kayan, right, and had a child, and her husband died, can eat Truma because of her son.
Right?
And her son has the ability to feed his mother Truma. If a woman marries the Yisrael, and he dies and leaves her a son, she cannot go back to her father's house because the son keeps her bound to her current status. She cannot return to her previous status. Just like the son, the Kayan, can feed his mother, the son, the Yisrael, keeps his mother from going back. So, am I explaining myself?
While she's not allowed to eat, if she can't eat for various reasons, she's on a grusha, let's say, and a kohen marries her, he cannot eat 2 minutes at in the meanwhile.
He can eat truma,
even though he's married to a grusha.
Again, you know, we're not giving him. I can't give him aftiyah anyway because he's a kohen. But we don't let him do avayda in the Beit Hamikdash temporarily. But I don't think he's
but truma specifically.
I don't think he's banned from eating truma. No.
So isn't there a fear that he might give his new children from this grusha wife truma at home, just the way we are afraid that while she's engaged, she can't give her, she doesn't take home truma to her family, that fear?
It's a good question. The answer is we don't make our own gzeiros. And this is a very non-frequent case, we hope. See, every woman becomes an arusa first and then an asua. Not every woman has married, not every kayan marries a grusha. It's a very, we hope, infrequent case. You want to make a gzeira for the kayan who marries the grusha that maybe, you're only going on a blessing of Rav Shimma, but he's going to a mayor who can't eat tumah. So you're afraid, let him not eat tumah because he might feed her, right? That's what you
right.
want to make a gzeira.
It's her and her child with her. The child that he has with her.
Who, the kohen?
The kohen might have a child also with her.
Right, so what do you want to know?
If he can eat and can his child cannot eat. He has a biological child with this woman who came into the marriage.
That child is not a kohen. He's not a kohen. He's a cholo. He gets shlishi. He can't get kohen. He's not a kohen. He's a schooner. He's a cholo.
Right. Okay.
But you want to make a gzera, it's a nice gzera, except we don't make our gzeras, because I'll make the gzera.
I was wondering if they were included in that same gzera, but
no,
seems unlikely.
No. This armelin is garshu. What happens if this woman who had kedushin with a kaingadul tramana or a gushim chalutat akadjit became divorced from them or they became widowed? Then ansuan psuas. If they consummated the marriage already, so then it's pasul. Minayiris and Cheris, because they never became a chalala. So they revert back. Even Reb Meir would agree, they go back home. Right? Again, she had a temporary pause because she did something wrong, but she didn't become a chalala. So now she goes back to her father's house and she eats truma. Rashi? Then in this armal and this garshim and a kahanim halalu, and in this sum psulas, the shabbi chalala with the yasa, he made her chalala with his biyam. This is the word I used before. I hate to use the word waiting. I don't know, mishtameres usually means waiting. Waiting for a b'yipsula. Now she's no longer waiting, so she goes back. And again, she did not become a chalala. Now, I explained the Mishnah, like Rashi's first shot, which Rashi will start again in the Gemara, and then Rashi will say he doesn't like it, and he will learn a totally new pshat. Not much different, but slightly different. Tanya, Amar Meir. So Meir says, Kal v'chaymer. I don't understand you, he tells Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. I have a Kal v'chaymer. Ma kedushe rishos. A kedushe rishos means, how does Artsko explain it? Legal kedushin?
Permissible
kedushin, which means a Yisrael marries a bas kayan. Totally permissible. No grusha, nothing. Yisrael marries a bas kayan. A machilin, she no longer can eat. Right? We stop eating because she no longer can eat from her father's house. This is what happens. A Yisrael marries a bas kayan. He does erison. Right? As soon as he does erison, she has to stop eating her father's truma. Even though she didn't do anything wrong, but she's now owned by Yisrael. I hate to use the word owned. She's now acquired by Yisrael. Therefore, she has to stop eating truma. Biblically, a girl who has erison stops eating her father's truma biblically. So, kedusha avera lekoshken. So, listen to what you're doing, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. A girl that didn't do anything wrong, but marries Yisrael, has erison, has to stop eating truma. this girl married a Kayan, right? And she did something wrong. But since she's married to a Kayan, you want to let her continue eating truma because of her husband, the Kayan, even though it's an Avera. So you're treating the girl who married the Yisrael without an Avera worse than the girl who married the Kayan with an Avera. That's what the mayor is claiming to the Rebbezer of Shimon. Doesn't make sense. The Torah doesn't allow a Yisraelis, a Bat Kayan, who marries a Yisrael, to eat truma during Erison, because she's no longer a Bat Kayan now. We don't consider her anymore. She's an Eishes Yisrael. Fine. But she didn't do anything wrong, yet Erison is enough to disqualify her from eating truma. Here is a girl that married a Kayan illegally. She happens to be a Bat Kayan. Had this not been illegal, she would have been able to eat truma by Erison because she's a Bas Kayan and an Eishes Kayan. But you are now letting her continue to eat truma because of her husband, the Kayan, who did something illegal. That's what mayor's tying it to their rabbanah.
Isn't there a difference because this is making her person change, her status change? Like, it's a status change. That's why. Not because of Avera. Her status is changing. That Avera with a Kohen, her status is not really changing as what she is. She's still in the Kuhuna Geder.
Amulai. So Blazer of Shimon answer a mayor. Like, no comparison. A Yisrael can never make anybody eat Truma. So her status changed. To quote Baruch Moshe Kleinman, that she married a Yisrael who can never give people truma. He's out of the parsha of truma. So she has to stop eating truma because she's now married to a Yisrael. She has heirs into Yisrael. Time of Kedusha Aveira, when she's marrying this Kayan illegally, this Kayan is a truma eater. Not only is he a truma eater, he's a truma feeder. Right? It's only because there was something illegal here that's bothering you. But it's not changing her status. She's an Eishes Kayan and a Bas Kayan. Why in the world should she not eat truma? Because she did something illegal? You can't prove that from Yisrael. Yisrael pshat is she married a guy who's not shayach to truma. Not shayach to truma. This lady is shayach to truma. The man, the husband, is eating truma and feeding truma. Right? He can be married to a different wife and giving her truma at that time. He can have avodah them and give them truma. He can be giving people truma. And this lady is going to be disqualified for what? Because she did something illegal? She's not a halal yet. So therefore, the comparison to Eishes Yisrael is not a good comparison. That's
Rabbi, can you...
Rashi.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yisrael the married to Bas Kayin, which is not an Avera. We don't let her eat. On the come on. Erison Paislin. That there's going to be a Mishnah later on that says, Eris and Patos, once a woman becomes an Arusa, Bas Kayan to Yisrael, she can no longer eat Truma. The parent come out of the Kayan Gadol. Time of Kedusha Avera, she yeshla the Kayan Zeh, lahachab amakamacha beruyalai. Any woman that's
Rabbi.
Going to make him eat her Truma. Kach Shemati, this is what I heard. Believe in Megamgen. However, my heart is Megamgen means it's troubled. Not clear. I don't feel correct. Why? I don't like this pshat. Chada de ein zeh lashon hashas. This is not the way the Gemara should express itself. Lachi by little meimer. Ma kedusha rishus paislin. Instead of saying kedusha rishus ein machilin, it should have said kedusha rishus pasel her from truma. Talking about Bas Kayan. Why did the Gemara use the term ma kedusha rishus ein machilin? It should be paislin. Stopping her to eat truma. That's what Rameir is pointing out. So why is the Mishnah the Gemara using the language of Eimachilin when it could have used a much more direct language of Paislin? The Gemara is going to have the next piece of Gemara. It's going to say, Ptsua Daka Kayan, Shekidish Bas Yisrael. A Ptsua Daka is someone who something happened to him, something physically happened to him, that made him incapable of impregnating a woman. And the Torah made a lav for that person to be married to a Jewish woman. A Ptsua Daka cannot be married to a Jewish woman. Now, So the Gemara says, "Pemtua daka kayan." He's a kayan. He's a pemtua daka. Shekidish bas Yisrael. He was mekadesh bas Yisrael, right? Banu la machlokes or meir Reb Lazer. This will depend on the machlokes, the meir Reb Lazer. Now, an arusa can never eat truma, but the question is biblically, can she eat, can he eat truma here? Meaning, right. So it's talking about a pemtua daka kayan. That did kedushin to Bas Yisrael, would she biblically be allowed to eat truma? The mayor would say no, because she's mishtameris for be a psula. And my mistake, I had said before, it's rabbinic. The mayor holds that's biblical, and at least that's what the Gemara says. And Reb Lazer, Reb Shimon would say yes. Now, the problem is that's a Bas Yisrael. The way we learned the Mishnah, Reb Lazer Reb Shimon only allowed her to eat truma because she was a bas kayan. She was eating truma anyway. So he said, why are we stopping her from eating truma? But the case of Betua Daka, Shekidish Bas Yisrael, she wasn't eating truma. So what's the comparison? Dr. Rashi, Shema Mina, right, I'm sorry, Mitzvah Reb Lazer, Betua Daka, Kayan, Shekidish Bas Yisrael, Bono Lamachlekes, Amen, Reb Lazer. Like, don't eat Betua Daka, Kayan, Shekidish Bas Kayan. Then Gemara doesn't say the case of Petua Daka Kayan Shetidish Bas Kayan, right? Bano Machlag Yosher Meir Reb Lazer. By Shema Bino, the Pluk to the Masri, some lab of Bas Kayan Luchudahi. Then Kayan Hechim Matsur Reb Aishin Lameh Meir Reb Lazer Shem and Achla. If Reb Lazer and Reb Shem are only talking about Bas Kayan, so how could he say they could eat? Eim Adam Reb Lazer Reb Shem Bas Kayan, Bas Yisrael Miyamri, did they say about Bas Yisrael? Therefore, Rashi doesn't like the Pshat, he said. Because according to his Pshat, till now, the only reason Reb Lazer and Reb Shimon allowed her to eat truma was because she was a bas kayan. She was eating anyway. Reb Lazer and Reb Shimon said, don't stop her from eating truma. Let her continue to eat truma. The Drashi, that's not the right shot. Because if that were the right shot, how can somebody compare Ptua Daka Kayan Shekidish Bas Yisrael to this, number one. Number two is, Reb Meir should have used the word Kedusha Rishus Paislan, because we're talking about stopping somebody from eating truma. Right? Therefore, Rashi doesn't like his first shot. So, Lashon Achar Vehu Iker. So now Rashi is going to say a second shot, similar but different, which Rashi holds is the main shot. Meaning, let me say it outside, that the Mishnah is talking about Bas Yisrael also. An Amana Bas Yisrael, or a Gerusha Bas Yisrael, who married a Kayan. Can she biblically eat Truma during Erison? Again, rabbinically, she can't eat truma because she might feed her brother and sister, she has simpon, all those things. But biblically, the Torah said an arusa can eat truma biblically. How about an arusa that is mishtameres labi epsula? She is a bas yisrael. She never ate truma in her life. Biblically speaking, as soon as she has erison to a kayan, she can eat truma. And the Rabbana didn't let her, but biblically, she's not over anything. How about if her husband is a kayan and she's a grusha? So biblically speaking, she is an ashes kayan, but she's mishtameres for b'yeb sula. That's the case of the Mishnah. Not only a bas kayan can continue to eat truma, but Reb Lazer Reb Shimon would allow bas yisrael to start eating truma biblically, not practically because of the rabbanon, but biblically, which means she wouldn't violate any biblical iser. If she ate truma, she would violate no biblical answer. Dr. Rashi, Lashon Achar Vehu Iker. Amana l'kayin gadol l'grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyim and erison lo yechlu b'truma. Bein b'bas kayin, bein b'bas yisrael k'mari. Talking about bas kayin and bas yisrael. Bas kayin ki the precious, the bas yisrael will leave the Mishnah Rishayna. The bas kayin, like it be explained, by bas yisrael, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, Damar B'ksubas, the Giyaz Man V'lein Nitzum, Eichlus Mishulay V'eichlus B'truma. Right? According to the Mishnah Rishayna that allowed her to eat right when the time came for marriage. Kamar Remeir, Amana L'Kayin Gadol, Ava be the Kedusha Kedushin, even though it's a valid Kedushin, the king in Kasbahi, and he acquired her with his money. L'Yisaychah B'truma K'shar Arusis L'Kayin. She cannot eat Truma like other Arusis L'Kayin, Sha'eichlus Minat Torah, my time, Mishtameris L'Bi Yisavera, because she's waiting for Abi Yisavera. So in the time when the Rabbanan did not ban it yet, before the second Zerah that said, even if the time came of chuppah, she cannot eat truma. Before that, they would let her eat. Rabbi Meir said she can't eat truma anyway, min ha'tayra, because she's mishtameres to be a savera. Rabbi Zev Shimon Machshirin, the king in Kasbehi. Imishim Chalala, her kol zman shlevala in his chalala. At this point, she's king in Kasbehi. She's married to a kayan. She's biblically married to him. There's nothing wrong with her, so she can eat truma. Nisarmu and his garshim and a kahanim alalu and eris ksheris lingas to the kahanim. Right? In this almanu, they can marry another kayan. Right? This Bas Yisrael who married the kayan gadol but never consummated the marriage, and then the kayan gadol died, can marry a kayan. She's only an almana. They got a grusha and bas kayan eat ksheris latruma. Right? She can go back to her father's house, eat truma, if she happens to be a bas kayan. But if she's not, she can't. But an asum sula, yishavi chalo. Yes.
Rebbe?
Rebbe.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't cop. If this, she goes ahead to marries this woman, the halach is that he has to get rid of her, right? Tetzei. You can't stay
yeah.
with her. So why don't we make the thing like this? Marach, if once he marries her, she can't eat it. He can't. So for sure before, they're going heading to an avera. Is that the oraisa that the tetzei mean midoraisa or only midorabanan tetzei?
Well, if they never consummate the marriage, it doesn't bother it. He did an avera by doing the kedushin, but he's not constantly over an avera. He's validly married to her. She is his wife, and as long as he doesn't consummate the marriage, she's not a chalala.
So we don't
want them staying married. There's no purpose to staying married. They're not going to consummate the marriage.
Right, so we don't make him get rid of her before they consummate. Like do something to prevent it.
That's because we don't want him to consummate the marriage, of course.
So why do we allow? I don't have how he can even have a havmin to allow her to eat truma.
Why? Tell me why not.
Because we this is a banned marriage.
So therefore, Rebbe Meir says she can't. You're agreeing to Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says she's mishtameres will be absula. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You are
trying to understand the other side.
I'm trying to understand how Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon what his rationale is to allow it. Is it the Raisa thing, the Xeris Akasov?
Again, the Kayan marries a woman with the Raisa. Can she eat Truma as an Erusa?
Yes.
Raisa, yes.
So who made up this new Isser that since she's headed for B.M. Sula that she's Isser? Why are you making up this new thing? Where did the Torah say that?
That's what I'm saying. So since the Torah never banned it, it's only a Darabonan.
Unless you can show me a ban, it's legal.
Right, and this idea of Darabonan, of Simpon or Shematechel is only Darabonan, therefore he says Midoraisa.
Right, Rashi points out, and I should have mentioned this, that according to the Mishnah Rishayna and the Ketubas, even Midorabonan, she can eat Truma after he gives man. Originally, Rusa can eat Truma right away. Then they said that Rusa can't eat Truma, but once the time came for him to feed her, she can eat Truma.
After a year. Right, and he didn't finish, he didn't get married. Oh, the same thing applied to this Shomeris? Such a thing? Is she? I mean, she's not like a, she's a Grusha, or there's something, I don't know, all those Halachas and Ksubas apply to Grusha and Almana?
Why not? Again.
Of one year.
Not once they consummate the marriage. There's no Halachas. All right, we will stop here. We'll continue next Shem. I'll be there Sunday, next Shem 6:30, and Monday morning 6:00. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbat.
Drive safely.
Just brought my shift.